Something to Talk About, or Five Women Carrie Agos Talks About in Bed, written by Et Ben, read by Sofin Isba. Fandom, The Good Wife. 1. Carrie talks about Dana, of course, about what she's doing to him, about what he's going to do to her. That's what you do when you're fucking somebody. His dirty talk isn't particularly creative, but it's not embarrassingly bad, either. No awkward pet names, no telling her to take it, bitch, come on, like that. Dana's done that. It's not bad in its place, but those words don't seem right, matched with Carrie Agos' baby-faced smile. Mostly he says, yes, and fuck, and God, and please, fuck Dana, please. Which suits her just fine, really. And he doesn't just talk about her during sex. They're colleagues, too, in addition to whatever else they are. On some level, Dana suspects she should object, insist that he leave work at the office, keep their time in bed for the two of them. Her sister is always after her about that stuff, telling her that the reason none of her relationships ever work out is because she keeps dating men who love their jobs more than their girlfriends. But Dana's been at the state attorney's office for 4 years, been dreaming of it for twice as long. She'll never tell Chrissy, but she's never yet dated somebody she loved more than the thrill of doing a cross-examination that flows just so, of piecing the research and the evidence together to make a case, of standing up in front of the jury and making them see things her way. So they talk about work, the cases, the criminals, the logistics of their professional lives. They talk about how she can break the Rogers defense, about the cases she worked last year, what she could have done differently, what she thought at the time. They talk about other stuff, too, what he needs from the witness on the Romanoff thing, Matan's insane whistleblower case, whatever stupid shit the staffers have done this week. It's weird, but it works for her, for them. 2. What do you think of Wendy? She asks one evening. They're stretched out on the bed, sweat cooling on their bodies. Carrie's checking his email on his phone. Scott Carr, he says, without looking up. She knows her shit. I'll give her that. He shrugs. Not the friendliest person I've ever met, but I guess she doesn't have to be. Wendy Scott Carr had smiled at Dana when they met, saying, "Call me Wendy, please." She'd taken Dana aside after a few hours and told her how glad she was to have Dana working with her on this. Later, when Carrie and Matan were getting into it over right of access, she'd smiled at Dana, inviting, almost conspiratorial, raising one eyebrow as if to say, "Boys and their toys, aren't they silly?" "Yeah," she says, absently registering that Carrie has stopped speaking, has set his phone aside and is watching her. "I don't know. I liked her, but that doesn't mean that Wendy Scott Carr is on Dana's side." "She's hot, though," Carrie says. "And isn't that just the way?" 3. He mentions Alicia Florek exactly once, the first day of the depositions. They're both exhausted from a long day of questions and non-answers, trying to find one solid fact to build on. Wendy seemed optimistic, even enthusiastic, but Carrie spent the whole day looking more and more haggard. "She's good," Carrie says, during a commercial break. I sometimes forget how good she is, you know, with everything else." Dana nods. "Wish she were on our side, though." Carrie snorts. "God, right? I used to think that, too. Get her on the side of justice, she'd be so much better. She could..." He shakes his head. "She's changed a lot, though." Dana thinks about Alicia Florek, who'd sat in a conference room and answered every question with an unshakable calm and absolutely zero usable information, and wonders. 4. Carrie has a thing for women in power. That's not actually a secret. He told her that outright after the first time she outmaneuvered him for a case. Even if he hadn't, it would have been obvious from his stares, from the way he watches. Frank, appreciative, and never more so than when he's getting his ass handed to him. This, though. "God, stop looking at me," he says, one hand over his face. "Like you've never thought about it." "I know, actually," she says. "Diane Lockhart is good-looking, in a terrifyingly well-put-together sort of way, but Dana can say with some confidence that she's never wanted to see the woman naked. So what, you want her to tie you up and lecture you about case law? Tell you you've been a bad, bad lawyer? Make you... She trails off, staring. Carrie's bright red now, and she can tell that he's trying to laugh it off, but his pupils are blown wide, and he's breathing quick and shallow, biting at his lower lip. Shut up, he says, but she's pretty damn sure he doesn't actually mean it, so she doesn't. 5. She actually starts the conversation about Kalinda, after yet another night out watching the two of them eye-fuck each other. Should I be worried? She asks, watching Carrie watch the sway of Kalinda's hips as she leaves the bar. He looks up slowly, not surprised, not guilty, just looking back at her, one eyebrow raised. Should I? He counters. Dana smiles, shows her teeth. I'm not a lesbian, she says. A true statement. She sleeps with men, has slept with Carrie, will doubtless sleep with Carrie again. The fact that she also sometimes sleeps with women, that's true, but not relevant, not right now. Carrie has nothing to fear from Kalinda. The only thing Carrie has to fear is himself. She brings it up again later, the two of them curled together in bed. Did you ever, though, with her? To his credit, he doesn't pretend not to know who she's talking about. She likes him all the more for it. Almost, he says. But there's always something with her. He shakes his head. She's always got an angle, always got a reason. His smile is thin, rueful, usually more than one. Dana thinks about Kalinda, the curve of her hip, the line of her neck, the razor-sharp intelligence behind her smile, the deft, deliberate movements of her hands. Yeah, she says, looking away. But can you blame her? The end.